Good morning, everyone. And it's lovely to be with you today as we worship God together. A special warm welcome to the Armstrong and Beckett families who join us today as we celebrate the baptism of baby Lucy. It's lovely to have them here with us this morning. Andrea and Jason have moved back to Omagh, having spent some time in that wonderful city of Belfast, or just on the outskirts, my hometown. And they've now moved back to Omagh. So it's lovely to have you here joining with us, Andrea and Jason, and also, as well as Lucy, then her big brother, Luke. So it's lovely to have the family as part of our fellowship here, and we look forward to her baptism later in the service. So we come before our great God as we come before him in prayer. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you that you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. Your love is everlasting. Your mercy is never ending. And your goodness is forever present. Help us, we pray, at the start of this new year, to place our hope and our trust in you, the one who holds our future, and who promises us eternal life through faith in Christ. Lord Jesus, we thank you for all that you have achieved for us through your life and through your death, that through your resurrection you have opened up a new future and a new destination to us. Help us, we pray, to live in the light of your truth and to share your goodness and mercy with those who do not yet know you as Saviour and Lord. Holy Spirit, we thank you for your presence in our lives, leading and guiding as we study God's word, as we seek to apply it to our lives, and as we seek to be his representatives here in this world. Help us, we pray, to be sensitive to the moving of your Holy Spirit, and with godly confidence to step out in faith as we seek to serve Christ and his church. Heavenly Father, as we think of the year that has passed, we are also aware of the times when we have disappointed or failed you or one another. Help us, we pray, to acknowledge our wrongdoing, to receive your forgiveness, and to change the direction of our lives that we may truly reflect your goodness. As we look to the future, Lord Jesus, we ask, O Lord, that you would open our hearts and minds to the prompting of your Holy Spirit, that we would walk in obedience with your word and to fulfill our calling as your disciples here on earth. These prayers we offer in Jesus' name. Amen. So we sing our opening hymn, a hymn of praise to Jesus, who is our Lord. Jesus is Lord, hymn 215.
Thank you.
I'd like to invite Jason and Andrea and Luke and Lucy to come forward into the front pew. And then if there are any boys and girls in the congregation, if you would like to come up to the front so that you're able to see what's going on, you can come on your own or come with your parents. There's plenty of room at the front, especially anybody who's come as part of the baptism party. We want you to be able to see. Might have to go into the second pew this morning. And you squizzy in. There we go. In we go in here. There's a wee seat for you. Lovely. All right. Excellent. This is lovely. So we're going to have another baptism this morning. We're going to be baptizing little Lucy and welcoming her into our congregation here, where she's going to grow up like you and one day go out to Jigsaw and then one day go out to Blast. And we trust and pray that she'll make as many good friends as you have, but that she will especially come to know Jesus as her very special friend. And that starts today as we welcome her into the church through baptism. So I would ask, not quite yet, I need to read out a few things, and then we are going to do a special event that we've been doing every month since September, when we turn into a new month. Can anybody remember what we do in the new month? Well, sometimes people might be born in the month of January. So we have a thing called birthday blessings. And if you're a January birthday, then you get to have a little gift from us and we'll pray a little birthday blessing on you. And this is not just for the children, but also for the congregation. So who has a January birthday? Put your hand up. Your sister does. Does she have her hand up? Is she down at the back? Is she out today? Is Emily out today? There's a few January birthdays, yes. Great. Well, that's brilliant. Well, I have the January birthdays for the children are going to get to choose them now. But then during the singing of our hymn before we go out to children's church, I'll choose two children who can go up and down the aisles. And if there's any adults whose birthday it is, you can get a present then. So who had a January birthday? Josh? No. Sorry, Joshua. Mummy and Daddy have shaken their head. But you know, sometimes, guess what? I would love to get one of these, but you know, my birthday's next month. So I'll get one next month and you'll get one the month that it's your birthday. Is that all right? Yeah, good lad. Archie. He's June. I thought that. I was thinking it. Yeah, that's it. Anybody with a January birthday in the congregation? I'm going to go around and give them. Oh, yes, indeed, Freddie. Yes. Or not, this is. No, that's not Freddie, is it, Freddie? It is Freddie, yes. You're in. The conductor.
Yes.
Hi, Freddie. Oh, a wee chocolate bar, Freddie. Have a lovely birthday. Has it happened yet?
No,
28. It's lovely. Anybody down here have a January birthday? Oh, Sam. There we go. Sam. Was there somebody over here? Oh, Mummy has a January birthday. It was close. It's all right, Josh. Mummy's got a present. She might share it with you. Oh, maybe not. Anybody else a January birthday? This? Huh? It's actually John Campbell's birthday today, I understand from Facebook. But he's not playing today. We've got Sheena, which is lovely. So he's missing out on a birthday blessing gift. Anybody here? David. Lovely. April doesn't qualify, Philip, no. And Beth. You're welcome. Somebody here? It's yours. Did I walk past you?
Thank you very much.
You're very welcome. Thank you. Is this right, Daddy? It is. Only joking, Garth. Only joking, Gareth. You're the 1st of January, that's right, you were a New Year baby. And somebody else, Marjorie, you get to get the parcel this time.
Just grab some.
Yeah. Lovely. Anybody else? Isabel? Robert?
Thank you.
Welcome. Isabel. Oh, Freddy. Another Freddy.
Yeah,
lovely. Any more here? Any more? I didn't notice in the gallery. Okay, that took a bit longer than I thought.
Kenny Alexander in the balcony.
Did I miss you out, Kenny? Well, we'll bring this up during the hymn. In fact, Adele, you can bring it up.
What'll I go for? Quite large.
All right. So we're going to just say a little prayer for all the January birthdays. Let's close our eyes. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the gift of life. We thank you for that special day when we entered into this world. We thank you for your love, which has shone upon us all the days of our lives, from the very moment we were conceived, and for the love which gave us Jesus as our Saviour. So we pray that you will bless all those who are born in January. We ask that you would surround them by friends and family, and that they may know your love. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. So, now we've done the January birthdays, we're now going to welcome little Lucy into the church. So would the congregation please stand. Baptism is a sacrament, is a sign and a seal of the covenant of grace which God has made with us in Christ. By baptism we are received into the church. Christ brings us from death to life, so that having been raised to life in him, we may live as heirs of his kingdom. The children of Christian parents, though they may not understand these things, are also within the covenant and belong to the life of the church. Since Lucy is not yet of an age to speak for herself, her parents and the congregation must make promises so that through Christian nurture in the grace of God, she may come to profess her own faith and serve Christ in the church and in the world. So Jason and Andrea and Luke, would you like to step forward? So Jason and Andrea, in presenting Lucy for baptism, do you profess your faith in God as your Creator and Father, in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Saviour, and in the Holy Spirit as your sanctifier and guide? And then will you, by God's help, provide a Christian home and bring Lucy up in the worship and teaching of the church so that she may come to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Saviour? And then to the congregation, do you, who now in Christ's name receive Lucy into the fellowship of the church, promise with God's help so to order your congregational life and witness, that she may grow up in the knowledge and love of God and be continuously surrounded by Christian example and encouragement? Hello. Hello, gorgeous. Look at this. So, Lucy Amelia Armstrong, I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And may the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with you this day and forevermore. Lucy is now received, according to Christ's command, into the membership of the Holy Universal and Apostolic Church, and she is engaged to be the Lord's. So we'll sing a blessing for Lucy. It's hymn 288, The Lord Bless You and Keep You. be seated. I'm just going to say a little prayer. Let us pray. Almighty and eternal God, we thank you that in your infinite mercy and goodness, you have promised to be not only our God, but the God and Father of our children. And you have received Lucy by baptism into the life of your church. Guard and keep her all her days. May your love hold her. Your truth guide her. Your joy delight her. May she grow strong in body and mind, and come to faith in Jesus as Lord and Saviour. Make her home a place of safety and security, and help her parents to teach her your truth and to lead her in your way. We pray for all families in this congregation. May you be cherished in all our homes. May your presence in our midst transform our lives. And may all our children grow in grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. And so before the children go out to jigsaw and blast and tots, we're going to sing another hymn. If there's anyone in the congregation who are visiting with us today, tots is through this door and across the corridor into the room behind. Anyone under 3 must be accompanied by an adult. 3 to 5 year olds go in there. There'll be teachers there to look after the 3 to 5 year olds, but anybody under 3 needs to have an adult with them. And then jigsaw is for anyone of primary school age, and that's out through this door, turn right and then left and into the main hall, and the teachers will be there to teach the children through Sunday school. And then if there's anyone here in secondary school age, you can go again out through this door, down to the end of the corridor, turn left, up the stairs, and again there'll be a class for you. Anyone who's in year 8 to year 11 are welcome to go out to those classes. So we sing our next hymn, hymn 371, Child of Blessing.
Thank you.
Thanks very much to Sheena for agreeing to play for us this morning. And I dropped a few new songs on her this morning. So thanks very much for coming early too to help with the choir. It's lovely to be here with you at the start of this new year. And often at the start of a new year, we make new promises and take opportunities to do new things. And so I'd like to encourage the congregation to consider using a proximity resource, which is a resource that's available in the church vestibule. It's an opportunity for you to take some time during the week to think and reflect upon the sermon that's preached on the Sunday. And it actually teases out some of the themes from that sermon. And this season's booklet is entitled Life in God's World. Life in God's Story. So I'd encourage you to think about taking the proximity resource. There's a £2 charge on the books, and there's an honesty box. So we're trusting that if you take a book, you will put the £2 into the box. And then take the booklet away. Take it an opportunity during the week to study it for yourselves. Then maybe arrange to meet with someone else who's had a look at the book and have a cup of coffee and a chat about what you've learnt and how you might be able to apply it in your own life. Because it's great coming to church on a Sunday. It's wonderful to have you here, and it's wonderful to learn new things of God. But it's important that we think about how we can put that into practice in our daily lives, that we can be Christians in the world today. This is a resource that the Presbyterian Church in Ireland have produced to help us in our discipleship journey. So again, an encouragement to you. There are a number of booklets with people's names on. They've already signed up for those. There are a few others that are there. If someone would like to take them today, if you get there and find out that there's none left, then there's a sheet underneath. Put your name in that and I will order and make sure you get a copy of that in this coming week. So that's a discipleship journey. Then there's another journey that I'm open to exploring with people, which is a bereavement journey. I know after serving with you here for the last 7 years that there are many of you who have experienced bereavement, either of a close family member or friend, and it has had an impact on you as bereavement does. And as Christians, we are told that we are not to grieve as the pagans do, because we don't have the hope of because we have the hope of eternity and they don't. But that doesn't mean that we don't grieve. We're still going to miss the person. We're still going to grieve them. We're still going to have to journey through that barren land or that valley experience. And sometimes it helps if you are going through that journey with other people. So if you would like to be involved in a six-week course, meeting with myself and maybe three or four other people, to look through the various stages of bereavement and the various experiences that we're having, so that we can share with one another on that journey. Today is the fourth anniversary since my dad passed away, the 12th of January 2016. And although it's 4 years away, it still seems just like yesterday. And I still miss his presence in my life. And I know that there are many here in the congregation who also miss the presence of a loved one. So if you'd like to journey with me, then please do speak to me or sign the list in the vestibule. Then another opportunity for us, we've looked at discipleship, we've looked at our own personal journeys and our own pastoral needs. Now there's an opportunity to look out at the wider community. And there's a new event taking place on Tuesday night called ROC, R-O-C. It stands for Redeeming Our Communities. And it's a faith-based organisation which seeks to work with the wider society in a town or in a country area to help them to think through how can we engage with those in our wider community who are going through difficult or challenging times. And so they're inviting anyone who'd be interested in looking at how can the church reach out to meet the social needs of those around us to a conversation in Drumrah High School on Tuesday night coming, the 14th of January. And again, there are some leaflets in the vestibules if you'd be interested in attending that conversation, just to hear a little bit more about it and to maybe prayerfully think if this is something that you could invest some of your time in. So three opportunities: discipleship, pastoral care, and outreach. I commend them to you. Let's come before God now in prayer. Let us pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for the new life that you give to us in Jesus Christ. We thank you for the faith that you have given us in him and for the courage and strength that you provide to us to live for you in the world today. And so we thank you, Lord, for this family of God's people that you have called together here in this congregation. And we pray your blessing to be upon us as we start our new year activities and organizations. We pray that you will inspire the leaders and organizers with new ideas and with enthusiasm, but also with compassion and care for those who will attend whatever event it is, whether it's something for young children, whether it's something for those who are interested in fitness, whether it's something for those who are more elderly. We thank you, Lord, for the opportunities that we have to gather together as a church family during the week and here in church. And so we pray, O Lord, that you would bless our activities in 2020, that we grow stronger in faith and more compassionate and caring to one another and also to our wider community. As we think of our church here, we're also very conscious, O Lord, of the connections that we have with other churches in the Oma area. We thank you, Lord, for their life and for their witness and for their willingness to seek to serve you as best they can. And so we pray that together we will be united as we shine for Jesus in our town in 2020. We're also conscious, O Lord, that we are part of your worldwide church. So we pray particularly for the congregation and church of the Central Africa Presbyterian Zambia Synod, especially at this time when they're going through a famine situation. They are relying upon food aid because of poor rainfall and failed harvests. And so we pray for the 2.3 million people in Zambia who need help. We ask, O Lord, that they would receive assistance both in the short term and in longer term from various charities and government organisations. And we pray, O Lord, that the most in need will receive all that they require for day-to-day living. We think too, O Lord, of closer to home and of those who are elderly in our congregation and those who are in nursing homes. And particularly we remember the 5 PCI residential homes in Belfast, in Newcastle, in Bangor, in Garva, and here in Oma. We pray for the home managers and the staff as they seek to provide care to the residents and their families. We think of the head of older people services, Denise Keegan, in Church House, as she seeks to manage those homes and the staff and ensure that the residents are cared for safely and have the equipment that they need. We thank you, Lord, for this outreach of our congregation and of our denomination, and pray, O Lord, for wisdom and guidance for Denise and all the home managers as they seek to care for those who are vulnerable in their homes. And Heavenly Father, we give you thanks that the Northern Ireland Assembly is now back up and running. And so we pray for stability and wisdom, that the parties may govern together for the good of all our people. We thank you too for this opportunity to draw together with those who are concerned for the social needs in Oma in this rock conversation on Tuesday night. And so we pray that this will be an opportunity for God's people to come together to think about what they could do to help those within their own community and then put plans in place, O Lord, so that they can be the hands and feet of the prayers that we offer today. All of these prayers we issue in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Saviour, who taught us when we pray to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who have trespassed against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. And as we've thought about how the Lord looks and goes with us into 2020, we're going to sing the modern version of Psalm 23, The Lord's My Shepherd, hymn number 527. Let's continue in our worship of God together. Thank you. We now turn to God's Word, and our reading this morning is from the New Testament, John's Gospel, chapter 14, verses 1 through to 14, and that can be found on page 137 of the Bibles of the pew, in the pews, and that will be read for us by Christopher Fowler. John chapter 14, verses 1 to 14, found on page 137 of the New Testament section of the Bible in the pews.
"Do not be worried and upset," Jesus told them. "Believe in God and believe also in me. There are many rooms in my Father's house, and I am going to prepare a place for you. I would not tell you this if it were not so. And after I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to myself, so that you will be where I am. You know the way that leads to the place where I am going." Thomas said to him, "Lord, we do not know where you are going, so how can we know the way to get there?" Jesus answered him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one goes to the Father except by me. Now that you have known me," he said to them, "you will know my Father also. And from now on, you do know him and you have seen him." Philip said to him, "Lord, show us the Father. That is all we need." Jesus answered, "For a long time I have been with you all, yet you do not know me, Philip. Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. Why then do you say, 'Show us the Father'? Do you not believe, Philip, that I am the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I have spoken to you," Jesus said to his disciples, "do not come from me. The Father who remains in me does his own work. Believe me when I say that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. If not, believe because of the things I do. I am telling you the truth. Those who believe in me will do what I do. Yes, they will do even greater things, because I am going to the Father, and I will do whatever you ask for in my name, so that the Father's glory will be shown through the Son. If you ask me for anything in my name, I will do it."
Thank you, Christopher. So this proximity resource that we're looking at is Life in God's Story. God's story is the Bible. And so I came across a group called The Bible Project, who have been putting a lot of videos online to help people understand a little bit more about what the Bible is actually all about. So hopefully we're going to watch a little clip. Well, it's a little clip, it's 5 minutes long, but I think it's very beneficial, how to read the Bible, what it's all about.
The Bible. It's one of the most influential books in human history.
It explores the big questions of why we exist.
It's inspired many people to do amazing things.
And confused many others.
And you've probably got one sitting around somewhere.
So, what is the Bible actually?
Well, the Bible is a small library of books that all emerged out of the history of the people of ancient Israel. And in one sense, they were just like any other ancient civilization. But among them were a long line of individuals called prophets. And they viewed Israel's story as anything but ordinary. They saw it as a central part of what God was doing for all humanity. And these prophets were literary geniuses.
Really?
Yeah, they expertly crafted the Hebrew language to write epic narratives, very sophisticated poetry. They were masters of metaphor and storytelling, and they leveraged all of this to explore life's most complicated questions about death and life and the human struggle.
So, there's a lot of different authors writing this book.
Yeah, and these texts were produced over a 1,000-year period, starting with Israel's origins in Egypt, then leading up to their kingdom with their first temple. But eventually, they were conquered by the Babylonians, who took them away into exile. Then, at a crucial moment in their history, many Israelites returned to their land. They built a second temple, they reformed their identity, and this is when the Jewish scriptures began to be formed into the shape that we have them today.
Okay, the Jewish Bible. What's in it?
Well, in Hebrew, it's called by an acronym, Tanakh. The T stands for Torah, sometimes called the Law. That's Israel's five-book foundation story. The N stands for Nevi'im, the Hebrew word for prophets. And this section consists of the historical books that tell Israel's story from the prophet's point of view. Then you get the poetic books of the prophets themselves. The K stands for Ketuvim, the Hebrew word for writings. This is a diverse collection of poetic books, wisdom books, and more narrative. And the Jewish people believe that through all of these literary works, God speaks to his people.
Now, there were other Jewish writings being produced during this Second Temple period as well.
Yeah, a really diverse group of texts. And these too were highly valued in Jewish communities. And there was debate from ancient times about whether or not some of these should be considered part of their scriptures.
So this is a lot of different writings over a long period of time. Why did they put them all together like this?
Well, altogether, these texts tell an epic story about how God is working through these people to bring order and beauty out of the chaos of our world. And it all builds up to a hope for a new leader who would come and renew all creation. And then the Tanakh concludes, and this leader never comes.
So it's an expertly crafted work, but it's missing an ending?
That's exactly right. Now, a few centuries later, a Jewish prophet comes onto the scene named Jesus of Nazareth. He claimed he was carrying the Tanakh story forward.
Yeah, so Jesus did a bunch of cool stuff, was killed, but his followers claimed he was alive from the dead.
Yeah, they said that Jesus was that long-awaited leader who would restore the world. And so his earliest followers, called apostles, they composed new literary works about the story of Jesus. They called these Good News, or the Gospel. They formed an account called Acts about the spread of the Jesus movement outside of Israel. And then they circulated letters to different Jesus communities all around the ancient world.
And they saw these writings as part of the scripture.
Yeah, the apostles wrote all of this as the fulfillment of that epic story found in the Tanakh. And they were continuing the literary genius of the Jewish tradition. They also believed that God was speaking to his people through these texts alongside the scriptures of Israel.
So that's the Old and New Testament. But what did the early Christians think of the other Second Temple literature?
Well, different groups had different views about some of these books, but we know they read them and valued these texts because they passed them along with the Jewish scriptures.
Okay, so we've got the Tanakh, the Jewish scriptures. We got these other Second Temple period works. Then the writing of the apostles about Jesus. And that's a lot of literature, so what's in my Bible?
So the Christian movement has taken different forms over 2,000 years, and from the beginning, all Christians recognized the Tanakh and the New Testament as scripture. And for centuries, much of the Second Temple literature was read as part of the biblical tradition. The Catholic Church eventually made it official and called some of the books from this collection the Deuterocanonical books. Some Orthodox churches used even more books from this Second Temple literature. And then in the 1500s, during the Reformation, Protestant Christians wanted to go back to the oldest writings of the prophets and apostles, so they accepted only the Old and New Testaments.
Okay, I think I got it. But how does a collection of books produced over 1,000 years by all these different authors tell one unified story?
Yeah, that's the question we'll address in our next video.
Hopefully that's given you a little bit of an overview of that Bible that we now have in our pews and where it's come from. And Life in God's Story, this series that we're looking at tonight, today's theme is hooked. Now I wonder how many of you get hooked on reading something. It may be the Bible, indeed. For some people, they are really hooked into the biblical scriptures and seek to read them daily. But maybe for you, you get hooked in other types of literature. Have you got a favourite author? You can't wait for that book to come out so that you can read right from beginning to end, staying up to burn the midnight oil. I can still remember my father shouting up the stairs, "Jane, would you ever turn that light out? It's past midnight," as I was page-turning over whatever book had currently caught my attention. In today's world, I understand that you're much more involved in technology, so perhaps you've got Netflix and you get hooked on a series and you have to watch all 12 series in the one day, so you spend a whole day watching the same thing, which is supposed to take you all over the winter, and you've watched it in one day. Because you're hooked on it, you want to know what's happening next. It's unputdownable. Well, as a young girl, my favourite book was Little Women. It's a book about four sisters, Meg, Jo, Beth and Amy March, who come of age during the American Civil War. And as I read these books and also the sequels to those books, I imagined the various characters in my mind. And I wondered what they would be like in real life. I pictured in my mind that scene on the frozen lake where one of the girls ends up going under the water and has to be saved by her older sister. I cried at the tragic death of Beth. I rejoiced when the father came home from the war. I was a little bit outraged when Laurie married Amy after professing his love to Joe. But then I sighed with satisfaction when Joe said yes to Mr. Bower and was overjoyed when she opened her school for little boys. So I really was a Louisa May Alcott fan and a fan of the Little Women series. So it was a real thrill for me this last week to go and see that adaptation in a movie, the most recent adaptation. And it was great to have a look at it from somebody else's perspective and to see how the director portrayed the various characters. I also liked the way the movie jumped from the end, which is really Good Wives. I really am a nerd on Little Women. From Good Wives back into the early story of the Little Women when they were young teenagers. And I liked the way it, the story overlapped and began to see a different side or portrayal of the characters that I had first read when I was but 11 or 12. And movies of well-known books can sometimes be a great joy to watch, but they can also be a disappointment to ardent fans when their favourite character isn't quite the person they expected them to be, or the way the director portrayed them wasn't the way they expected them to be. But you know, we aren't gathered here this morning for a critique of literature or of the movies. We're here because of the greatest book ever written, the Bible. As the video said, most people have a copy of this book in their homes. Maybe your copy is a little bit like this. It's covered in dust with the words "Read Me" written in the dust. Because it sits on the shelf and is never lifted down. Maybe it's the Bible that you got whenever you first took communion in your church. Maybe it was the Bible that your parents got when they first got married. Maybe it was the Bible that you got when you married. But it sits on the shelf and it gathers dust and we don't read it. And there are 35% of those who attend church say they read the Bible every day. 35% of those who attend church say they read the Bible every day. And we think about the number of people attending church. That doesn't reflect a huge percentage of our society these days. So very, very few people are taking the time to read the greatest book ever written. Evangelical Alliance did a survey on Bible reading last year. And they asked some leaders their views on the Bible. They asked some people their views on the Bible. And as statistical surveys tend to do, we've come up with a lot of statistics. 98% of church leaders believe the Bible is divinely inspired, and 47% think that it is free from error. That's the leaders, 98% divinely inspired, 47% free from error. 78% of church people who read the Bible believe it's divinely inspired, slightly less than the leaders. But only 34% believe that it is free from error. But again, more than half think that it is free from error. In the leaders, 90% of leaders say that the Bible actively challenges them to live in a way which runs counter to the present culture in Britain. 90% say the Bible actively challenges them to live a countercultural life in Britain. Only 73% of the people believe the same thing. Not unsurprising, 87% of leaders think that the Bible is regularly taught at their church services, whereas only 68% of the people think that the Bible is taught regularly in church. So I hope that if you're surveyed by Evangelical Alliance, that you will, well, you answer whatever way you feel is appropriate. But certainly we do hold the Bible, God's word, as very valuable instructions, guidance to us. It is God's word. As evangelical Christians, as reformed Christians, we believe in the word of God. But I have to challenge us here. If we believe it is the word of God, do we read it daily? Do we thrive on it? Are we hooked on it? Are we keen to understand it? And more than that, are we willing to apply it to our lives? Or do we just go with the traditions that are going on in our societies and even in our churches? So So a challenge to us at the turn of this new year. If we hold the Bible to be truly inspired by God and useful and challenging to us in how we should live for him in the world today, then we do need to start reading it if we don't do that already. And that's a challenge for me as well. As a minister, yes, I do read the Bible because I prepare for Sunday. But I probably read it more when I wasn't a minister than I do now because of the busyness of the job. And that's wrong. And so it's a challenge to me this year to actually turn back to God's word and to get hooked on it once again. There are 66 books in the Bible. There are 39 of them in the Old Testament and 27 in the New Testament. And I think I've told you this little sum equation before. The way to remember that is 3 9s are 27. 3 9s are 27, 39 in the Old, 27 in the New. 39 and 27 added together are 66. So God's even given us a little mathematical sum to remember. 39 books in the Old, 3 9s are 27, 27 books in the New Testament, 66 in total. And within that collection of books, there are a wide variety of literary styles. So for those of you who love the soaps, EastEnders, Emmerdale, Coronation Street, just read the opening chapters of Genesis. You couldn't get any more dysfunctional families than in the book of Genesis, with brothers lying with their father's wives, people being exploited, murder, hatred, revenge, jealousy, theft, stealing of birthrights. It's all there in the opening chapters of Genesis because it reflects humanity's life and how we have fallen. If you're someone who prefers the poetic, then the Psalms and the Proverbs are the books that you could turn to where there's the most beautiful literary genre, where humanity poetically puts in verse their deepest emotions, their fears, their joys, their challenges, and puts them in prayers to God. So maybe if you're more leaning towards the poetry, then the books of the Psalms and the Proverbs are where you should turn to. Or maybe you're a history buff and you love to follow history, and you're fascinated with the history of our own current society today. But look back to those history books in the Old Testament, the Kings and Samuel, and see how the history of the children of Israel played out, and see how God was at work in the midst of that. And then if you're someone who likes to dot their I's and cross their T's, then for you the books of the law and the books of the apostles' letters are what you would turn to see about what guidance and instruction there is in how to live your life. So there's lots of variety within the scriptures. So I'd encourage you to think about what type of books do you normally like to read, and then think about, well, what book is equivalent to that in the Bible? And I'll challenge myself in the start of this year to read through that particular book. But the Bible isn't just a collection of books. It also has an overarching narrative. It has a story. It tells God's story. It tells about the goodness of the world and the wonder and the beauty of creation, and the love that a man and a woman have for one another, and that relationship that they have with God in the perfect world. It also then talks about humanity's sin and fallenness, and how we separate ourselves from God by choosing to go our way and not following in his way. And so there is exile, we're sent from God's presence, there is punishment and toil and death. But that's not the end of the story. There's redemption. God intervenes once again with his people and he calls them back to himself. He forgives them for their wrongdoing and he restores the relationship with them. That all happens in the book of Genesis and Exodus. And yet, it happens again as we follow through the Kings. Last week, we heard about King David and his fall from grace and the sin that he committed, and how he was even blinded to his own sin until God's prophet pointed it to him and he sought God's forgiveness and was restored once again. And so all the way through scripture, through all those books, we see that same story unfolding. God's goodness, humanity's falling away, the redemption that God brings, the deliverance that he brings, and then the restoration of fellowship with him. In Proximity, Life in God's Story, it all features around one person. That person who is Jesus Christ. He is the Word made flesh. Jesus is like the little woman story that we read in the book. Then we go to watch it in the movie and we see a lifelike character portraying the characters that were in the book. Well, Jesus comes into this world and he not only portrays, but he actually is the God who created the book itself. Jesus comes to show people who God is by the way that he lives his life. He comes to show that the truth that's contained in God's word is true and that we can trust in him. And he comes to give us new life in God, that redemption that he won for us on the cross. So Jesus is the enactment, not of the Old Testament people. Yes, he was like the prophets. Yes, he was like the kings. Yes, he was like the priests. But most importantly, he was God made flesh. He took center stage to reveal the nature of God and to call us to follow him, to believe what he says, that he is the way. The way that we can live our lives is by following the way of Jesus. He is the truth. If we're looking for truth and right and wrong and the meaning of life, Jesus provides us of the truth of who we are, of who God is, of how we can find forgiveness and fulfillment. And he is the life. He's the one who gives us fullness of life, not just in eternity when he comes to welcome us into his Father's mansion, but here and now in this world today. He gives us life. May we look around our lives day by day, look for the signs of God's life and his goodness, and choose to follow him and to follow in his truth. Proximity gave this quote, which I wish to finish with. While it has many different scenes and subplots, there is one single connect and overarching story in the Bible that revolves around Christ's kingdom, where he is center stage. So I encourage you and invite you to open up the pages of that dusty book, or to continue to thumb through those torn pages that you have thumbed through for years and years and years, and look at the life that is contained in God's story, and follow him over these number of weeks as we go through this series, and may that set us up for the rest of our lives. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks that you have inspired your people to write your truths, that you have done it in a way which connects with who we are as human beings, that reveals the truth of our lives, the brokenness and the fallenness, as well as the joy of being in a relationship with you. And we thank you, Lord, that through every page in the scriptures, we can see your story unfolding, a story of love and grace and goodness and redemption, a story of forgiveness and restoration and reconciliation. Help us, O Lord, to become hooked upon your story and to allow it to shape our lives and to impact our families, our workplaces, and our communities, that they too may know the life and the joy and the hope that comes from following the one who is the way, the truth, and the life. Amen. In our worship, we will continue to worship God as we give to him our offerings. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for the many good gifts that you give to us. We thank you, Lord, for the life that we lead, for the resources that you provide us with. We thank you for the community that we live in and for the richness of our society. And so we pray, O Lord, that you would take these, our thank offerings, and that you would use them to advance your kingdom here in this place, and that you would use our offerings to share your love and your goodness and your mercy with a broken world. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. We bring this service of worship to a close with a promise to serve Jesus. It's hymn 551, O Jesus, I have promised. And now may the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with you this day and forevermore. Amen.